I know my Savior so well. He is mine already on the earth. I will not be a stranger there, for I know my Savior so well. Let us read Psalm 130. Here this man of God calls out, out of the depth have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I think, brothers and sisters, God has spoken to us this morning through his precious and holy word. And it's not only so that we just hear and that maybe walk away dumb, but I think we are grateful to God for his speaking, for his word, for his love, which he has bestowed upon us. And here, the psalm writer says, from the depth I have cried unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. We know God hears us when we call to him, when we pray to him. He is the same who was at the beginning, who heard everyone who called to him, who were supplicating to him. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. I don't know, but I think these men, nobody could stop them. They rose their voices toward God, and we have heard it this morning of the heroes of faith. Nothing could separate them from God. They alone acted by faith, looking to God, building upon God. And so also we, beloved, we want to raise our voices. Not that we want to create something from our own, but from the depth, the true desire must be in us as we heard it. It must be awake. This we must have, and this we need. And here we see this man of God who expressed this. He says, from the depth I have called upon you. These were not words on the surface to say just something, but it came from the bottom of his heart. And this, beloved, we also want. He continues and says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. This we believe with all our hearts. Do you know? Men of God, they experienced it, that there is forgiveness with him. But did we also experience it? This is the question. Did we experience it? Then the fear of God will come into our hearts. And then he says, I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. Yes, dear brothers and sisters. Oh, what are we waiting for? You see, these men, they wanted to have a word from God, not from men. Men have many words which do not profit, but when God lets his word sound to us, then we can be grateful. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait. And our brother expressed it this morning. We don't need anything created, but we wait for the Lord, that he truly manifests himself. Our soul waiteth. We are waiting for his word, for his manifestation. We need it more than ever before. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Is it in us like this? We must ask ourselves, Do we really wait more than the watchman for the morning? Dear brothers and sisters, we want to wait for him. And truly, it becomes too much for us on this earth. So many things are coming towards us, and we know the enemy wants to defeat us, but we are looking up to him, to the living God. Dear brothers and sisters, I was thinking, when the enemy was not afraid to come to our Lord and tried to make him fall, how much more he will try it with us. No one can exclude himself, but we are looking up to him. We wait, and we know he promised he will be with us. And so we want to ask him, also this afternoon, may he give us grace, may he give us his word, that we take it to heart, that we love him, and that we bow before him, and that also the fear of God is in our hearts. There are people who say they believe God, but they do what they like. There's no fear of God in them. If the fear of God would be there, the reverence before the living God, then it would look different. But the people of God, those who experience God, they know they need nothing anymore to say anything. They don't have to do anything. They just have to wait for the Lord. And this we are doing. May God be merciful to us this afternoon. Now, let us stand up for prayer. Faithful God, also we are coming this afternoon by faith, in trust. We are waiting for you. We are waiting for your word. And we thank you already now that you have spoken. And we ask you, give us grace that we ponder upon your word, that we understand what you want to say to us, O Lord. And that we are steadfast as those in those days. You always give us these examples from the Old and New Testament, how the men of God walked with you, O Lord, and how you spoke to them with an Abraham, with all the others you let them. But you knew to whom you could speak. And also in these days, you know with whom you can speak, with your people, with us, Lord. You have chosen us before the foundation of the world, ordained us. Lord, we thank you and we worship you. We call and cry out from the depth of our hearts, O Lord, we raise our voices. Lord, hear our supplications, hear our prayers. Be merciful to us, be merciful to me, be merciful to all of us. We pray also for our brothers and sisters, for all who cannot be here at this weekend, all who are in trouble, Lord, who are sick, who have not the possibility to come, who are living in the east. Lord, you can satisfy their longing, and you can also bless them there from the riches of your grace. We thank you, and we worship you, and we praise your holy name. Lord, we are waiting for your word. We are waiting more than the watchman for the morning. Help us so that we understand everything correctly. Lord, and if we don't understand everything, then may you give us grace that the moment comes where we will understand it. To your name be the glory. Hallelujah. Glory to you, the Lamb, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Perhaps we sing a couple of choruses. I see the song leader is not here. I'm so glad that I can be yours. I'm so glad that I can be yours. By grace I may be yours. You have set me free from sin. I am so glad that I am yours. You are giving the fullness. Lord, I thank you. The blood of the Lamb cleanses me. The blood of the Lamb cleanses me. And maketh all things new. All things new. All things new. The blood of the Lamb cleanses me and worketh all things new. Jesus, the fountain of my life. You are my joy. Perhaps the one in the old book, in the old book, there are words of life wherever I look. In the old book, there are words of comfort. The Lord be highly praised. I would like to ask that a brother switches on the light. I just like it when I can look into the eyes of the listeners. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. The invoice for the electricity of the last 12 months was terribly high, but this shall not hinder us to have our services here with illumination. Praise and thanks be to our God. We don't take anything with us, only what God has given us. And so, we are again grateful that we can be here. I'm aware of, and I know, that there are many prayer requests, that there are troubles, sickness, sometimes almost desperation, here and there, and that there are unsolved problems, unanswered questions. Yes, that some things is still amongst us, and not only here, but everywhere scattered. Nevertheless, we want to trust the Lord. As Brother Branham said once, we are a needy people, people who always depend on the grace of God. And we are, of course, coming together to be strengthened anew in our faith, to be encouraged, to take the word at His word and to trust Him, that He with us and that we will have the victory with Him. I cannot think it otherwise. I cannot imagine it in a different way. Then it is God's worthy that God will finish His work with might and power and glory, bringing everything wonderfully to the end. And to it belongs also the completion of His church, the preparation of the bride, and the full equipping with everything what she needs to be taken from this earth and to go up into glory. We just believe it. And why? Because God has said it. And because God has said it, it will be so. Not because a preacher wants it, but because God wanted it. And because He said it. Therefore, our faith is the victory. It's alive. Because God's word, which was addressed to us, is also alive. When we were singing, I watched that some have a heavy heart and were not singing. And I was also sad. Paul said, where was someone sorrowful and I was not sorrowful? Where was not one suffering? I was not also suffering. We are just joined with God and with one another. And if you, brother or sister, if you cannot feel the sorrow in your soul of the brother and of the sister, that it pains you, then examine yourself whether you are part of the body of the Lord, whether you are really penetrated by the life of God, whether you were really added as a member of the body to Him who is the head and who joins us with Himself and with one another. These are not theories, this is reality. Just as every member on my body feels that something hurts, then the whole body feels it. The same blood runs through the veins. All members are flooded by the same life. The same blood flowed for all of us. The same life of God is in all of us. And we are joined with the Lord and with one another. This just has to be more heartfelt. This must be deepened. This must be filled with a divine life, with a divine power, so that we all, as our Lord said, that we can all weep with those who weep and that we can rejoice with them who are happy. so that everyone feels with everyone and so that everyone can tune in. Today we want to make use of the time to express our gratitude to the Lord. I could imagine that many of us cannot even wait until the opportunity is given to worship and to praise. Oh God, God has done so many great things for us. It really makes us ashamed if we really think about what God has done for our soul. Then we are ashamed in His presence, and we may just give praise and glory to His name. Now, just briefly, let me read some scriptures and perhaps refer to it. Romans 15, I just flipped it here, and then Brother Rus tuned in the last chorus. Romans 15, verse 5. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Otherwise, we cannot do it in another way. The second is depending on the first, because this is a sentence with a comma and not with a full stop. So it's a continuation. That we have one mind with one another, like-minded, according to Christ Jesus. Not according to a preacher. Otherwise we go up and down with the preacher, but according to Jesus Christ, who remains always the same, yesterday, today, and forever, who does not change, but to whom we can really trust without any restriction. We should have one mind, like-minded, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have this one mind in the mind of Christ? If we have it not, then we cannot open our mouth with one accord and praising our God and Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then our prayers are ascending unto the ceiling, but not to the throne of grace. But we want that they reach the throne of grace. And therefore these admonishing words, that we should ask God that we remain steadfast and that He may help us to be like-minded with one another according to Christ Jesus. I know it's not always easy to agree with every brother, and this is not necessary at all. But if every brother and every sister agrees with the Lord and according to His word is tuned in like an instrument, then everything is good. Then every question is answered. Then there is the unity. The unity, the one accord, according to God, not according to men. People are agreeing on a doctrine, about a knowledge, about a creed, but the unity is with our God is according to Jesus Christ our Lord. This everyone must have and find. Verse 7, it says, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive one another. Do we all do this? Or do we look around someone? Do we shake hands so a little bit to the left? No, beloved. We don't want to deceive ourselves any longer, but we want to find out with us whether the love of God, which was manifested on the cross of Calvary, which redeemed us, which pardoned us, whether this divine love, with a clear view, with a stretched out hand of reconciliation, can be done to every man, to every brother, to every sister, with a sincere heart. And then I tell you something more. Then there's everything is clarified. Then nobody needs to clarify anything. Then everything is clarified. I made one experience in my life. It was always the same result. When people want to clarify, then it becomes like an avalanche. It becomes more and more and more. But when we understand that God clarified everything and that we have to receive one another as God received us in Christ. Did God have to clarify something with you? Did he ask you, what have you done? What did you say? What did God clarify with you? Where did God have to clarify something with you, with us? He clarified it by blotting out all the letter of requirements, tearing it into pieces, nailing it to the cross, shedding his blood. That was God's clarification. And all who were accused were set free. And no one didn't he confront anyone. He said, he invited everyone, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls. The true redemption has already happened. And everything is clarified for all who accepted God's offer of grace for themselves and at the same time grant it also to others. Verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Here we have the word promises. God has given promises which he fulfills. And I'm also aware of that there are scriptures which give us the instruction to go to one another and to ask for forgiveness. And the Holy Scripture says even Peter asked, how often I must forgive my brother? Is there 7 times a day enough? And the Lord said, 7 times 70 times. Somebody said, these are 490 times. I didn't count it, if it's correct. So we see how great the love of God is for everyone. For everyone who were really filled with this divine love. Then we have here a request which Paul addressed to the church, Romans 15, verse 30. Romans 15, 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. As Brother Branham said, we are not in a picnic, but we are in a spiritual battle, being placed into it. And we don't exaggerate when we say that the battle at the end is becoming the hottest, the hardest, because now it comes to the end and we can do nothing but to put on the whole armor of God, and not against any brother, and not against any sister, but against the wiles of the devil, to make up the front line and to stand together in the battle. Here Paul said, I'm asking you, dear brothers, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. This is the love which I want to have. I want all that what God can work through His Word and through His Spirit, whatever it might be, faith, love, hope, everything, what God works, this I want to have. We notice that most surely there are two different loves. Also this, Brother Branham expressed clearly once, the filial love, the human love, and then the agape, the divine love. And he's not afraid to say, I am convinced that many are deceived. They mixed up the divine love with the human love. Beloved brothers and sisters, we want to take care that we are not deceived, but that this divine love, which the Holy Spirit works, that it is in your heart and my heart. And then the love does not impute anything. It's just with that, what happened on the cross of Calvary, just joined with it, and can only manifest that in those who were redeemed, what was prepared for us. In James chapter 5, we have a word which we read a couple of times in the course of the years, from verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Do we see what it's all about? James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Such even a grudging, which is directed against one another, makes up a hindrance and separates us, and separates the fellowship with one another and with God. May we just understand it once for all, that we forgive one another as God forgave us in Christ, that we receive one another as God received us in Christ, that we pardon, that we see another pardoned as He pardoned us. As I said last night, the redemption work we want to look at from a divine perspective, and each one seeing through Calvary, brother, and even I have would have seen you black as a chimney sweeper, then if Calvary was transfigured to me, I should see you white as the angel Gabriel, who could come with a white garment, whiter than the snow. If it is not so, then I didn't look through Calvary. Then there are still scales on my eyes. Then I didn't see the matter of God as He showed it to us. I'm asking yourself whether in your Bible, in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 1 is also written, come, let us reason, and even your sin would be red as blood, it shall become whiter than the snow. Is it not also written in your Bible? In my Bible it's written. And when did it happen? On the cross of Calvary. Most surely, we could say here, but something must be clarified. I have nothing against it. If God is in the matter, then the clarification will bring forth divine fruit. Then it will bring forth divine fruit in every matter in which God is. As the result, there will be peace, joy, fellowship, divine agreement. It will be just heard and seen, and it can be felt that God is in the matter. But it's not a human know-it-all. Then we surrendered our right so that God comes to his right. And this we must understand. We don't have any right. God took possession of us to have his right over us and in us. If we seek our right, then we will lose it. But when we lose it, then God will give us his right. It's so wonderful, everything. If we just look in the Holy Scripture, here, when the psalm was read, I had to look to my left side of the Bible. There it says in 126, Psalms 126, verse 3, Psalms 126, verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Blessed is the man. Here we see in one verse two things. Firstly, in two verses. Firstly, it is being said, great things the Lord has done for us. How we were so happy. And then comes the statement, turn our captivity. We know the people of Israel was with a strong hand, it was laid out. Great signs and miracles happened. There was much rejoicing. God was giving food. God was giving drink. God was taking care. God protected. God was with his people. But then came a time of trial. And then it says here, turn our fate, turn captivity. He makes all things well. Even what we would have done not well, he makes it well. Turn again our captivity, our fate, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I want to be part of them who sow with tears, to those who have put their trust in God and who hope that what he promised, that he will fulfill it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the confirmation is given for us to that, what we looked at yesterday and today, namely in view to the promises of God, which he has given us. Here it's written, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Unto the glory of God by us. If we say this like this, then we mean it sincerely, honestly. God created himself a body, and this is the church of the Lord. And if he wants to reveal himself here on the earth, continuing his plan, then he needs people. And let me say this here briefly. As the first coming of the Lord was introduced with the fulfillment of Scripture, that a forerunner came on the scene, preparing the way of God, making straight a street for our God, so also that what had to take place before the second coming of Christ started, that Bible prophecies were fulfilled. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. With this, the last prophetic age was introduced, connected to the word of prophecy. And so, by the grace of our God, we were informed about all of the plan of salvation. But even the best and most extensive information would not profit us anything unless we come into the presence of God and make it useful for us, recognizing what God wants to do. And we say with all our hearts, Lord, here we are. Place us according to your word and according to your will into your program with your church in these last days. For all the promises of God is the yes in him. Therefore also through him was given the amen unto the glory of God by us. That by us belongs to it. As God revealed himself through Christ, so Christ reveals himself through the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things. And we must in holy seriousness, in the holy responsibility before God, we must face up this greatest task which was given us in this end time. And we must say, Lord, here it's not about brother and sister so-and-so, not even about that a nice church with all the framing comes up, but that God has a church which is his body, through whom he can speak, save, heal, bless, deliver, through whom the ministry of Jesus Christ, as it was continued by the apostles, that it can be continued also in these days. This is the task for the church commissioned by God. Therefore, it's written in Ephesians 4, God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, and evangelists to perfect the saints for the work, for the perfecting of the saints. We have received teachings, but the question is, could God perfect us? Could he really equip us? Could he make us able? Could he empower us? This should happen through all these ministries which God has set into the church. The question is, has it happened? If not, then we are honest enough and we say, Lord, not everything is yet so. For all the promise of God, there is in him the yes. God has given the yes in Christ toward you and to me, to every word. In Christ, God has spoken a yes. In him, he spoke the amen, because he's both Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. In the last church age message, it is to the church of Laodicea, that it's written, thus saith he who is the Amen. He is the yes. He is the Amen, the promise and the fulfillment of these divine promises. And we'll find out at the end, Joshua, he could say at the end, not one of the promises which God has given remained unfulfilled. All were fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. We're not dealing with Moses. We're not dealing with Abraham or Paul or Brother Branham. We are dealing with the God of the prophets, with the God of the apostles, with the God who redeemed himself a church. And he takes care that everything is being fulfilled at the right time, in the right way. I am full of confidence. the time comes to its end. The coming of the Lord is very, very close. And we should lift up our heads. We should rejoice because our redemption is drawing near. And if the enemy, the diavolo, the one who brings everything upside down, then we know why he makes so many efforts. He knows that his time is short. But if you should not know this yet, then we should actually tell him that we shall not be available for him. We are not here to be misused by the enemy. We are ordained to be used by God. And this decision, this we must make. And then we must have the discernment. Who is influencing us now? And what is the purpose of that what is happening now? With our God, everything was done. To him, we can trust him without any... We are just available for him. And we say, Lord, here we are. Purify us. Sanctify us. Correct us. Make everything in us, in me, what you would like to find and what is necessary so that you can manifest himself at the end as you manifested yourself at the beginning. And if we have all this sincere desire and the longing in our hearts and just not thinking who is now listening or standing next to me, no, we are not dealing with men here, but we are dealing with God. Before we are gathered, before we pray, whom we believe, whom we trust, and we take him at his word. And we say, Lord, all promises are yes and amen. All the promises of God in Christ. Without him, there's nothing. In him, all the promises of God are yes and amen. In him, through us. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You see, the connection here. He takes dwelling through faith in our hearts to then be the quickening power in us and to execute every word to put it into practice. Let us just dare it once to believe the Lord. Just simply thanking God. Not that we close our eyes as if we would like to do, as something is in the bush. No, this we don't need. But if we have faith, then we recognize also him who can come down on a thorn bush with fire. Then we recognize that we are dealing with a living God. And when he speaks to us, then there are no misunderstandings. And we even have to take care that his spirit leads us in all things. And if this is the case, then it will be fulfilled what was read in one of the meetings. Oh, if you would have looked at my commandments, then thy peace would have been as the river and thy peace as the waves of the sea. Let us pay attention to his word, saying, Lord, I want to pay attention to your word. I want to stay in the limits of your word, thinking, acting, speaking. Help me to do it. This is my decision before you, the living God. Give me the grace to obey this. Give me the power. Work it yourself in us, in me, so that these are not just intentions, but that become divine reality, Therefore, we have to recognize that we of our own, we cannot do it. And at the same time, we recognize that He has done it already. That it just needs faith to be manifested through us and in us. I know God is nigh to us. I know God spoke to us. I know it was His word which He addressed to us in these days. Blessed is the man who has an inner agreement. And he says, Lord, also to me you have spoken. I bow under your mighty hand, under your holy word. Make with me what you like. And you will see every riddle is solved. All the questions are answered. The problems are no more so big. Probably they are no more here at all. Let us just thank our God, trusting Him without any loss. He is worthy to be trusted. Just as a child, not childish, but taking His word as a child, coming to Him, then He will also hear us this morning, today. We come under the blood of the Lamb. We come nigh to the throne of grace because God came to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We say, Lord, here we are to receive what you have prepared for us already and what you have given us through Calvary already. And you will see what goes on in us when we take God and honor God by faith, giving Him the thanks from our hearts which we owe Him. He cannot do otherwise but to answer and to bless. Blessed and praised be His wonderful and holy name. I hope that you all feel what kind of wonderful liberty of the Spirit and what kind of loving atmosphere here is in the presence of God. The last one shall tune in, shall be surrounded by the fiery wall. The last one shall feel at home in the presence of God. Blessed be His name. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us come to the front. Let us thank our Lord together. Always faithful to Jesus. Faithful to His cross. Until we go home, always remaining faithful. Faithful to His cross until we go home. So that many can pray, we will be brief. But if somebody, being led and inspired by the Spirit, then we don't want to make any limits to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Feel free, feel at home. The Lord is near. We have heard His word. We believe His promises. Now we want to thank Him, worshipping Him. Jesus is the victor over death, makes all things well. Jesus is the victor throughout all eternity. For me, Jesus has won the victory already. redeemed through his blood. Oh, how nice. The Savior is mine. How nice it is to be saved. In the sweet by and by. As we looked at this weekend, everything what is written will be a reality very soon. Very soon the overcomers will be at the sea of glass, playing on the harps of God, singing the new song at the marriage supper taking place. Everything has become so near. Whatever could hinder us, let us leave them behind. Let us leave the things behind which hinder us. Let us walk forward by the grace of God. How does a songwriter sings, what is behind us, leave it behind. I don't want to have anything of it, as the songwriter sings. Oh, I'm so grateful to my God. I know that He's present. I know that He spoke to us. I know that His Spirit is in our midst. And even the last one will be baptized into it. Don't you worry. Should somebody be here still who has a special prayer request, this we want to bring now before the Lord in particular. Otherwise, I would like to ask you all, remember me on this journey now. It goes from West Africa through Central Africa to East Africa, and all this in 3 weeks, up and down, preaching, staying overnight, and on. It's just necessary. With me, it's like the prophet Jeremiah. If I consider not to travel anymore, then it burns in my soul. And then one has to just fly again. We are grateful to the Lord that there are still open doors, that invitations are coming. I just would have wished that some of you would have witnessed the 2 conferences on Sumatra, especially that one with the Bible school. Hundreds of people, they were just asking and said, Brother Frank, please, only one meeting only. Do you think what happened there? The hearts were touched. We always hear the word of God time and again. I just hope that I didn't preach somebody to death. I don't want it. I want to preach the dead alive. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. As we said, we ask you that especially now, the most critical country has become Zaire, with all the different doctrines which cannot be controlled anymore unless God would intervene. And I may say here for His glory, until now He didn't leave me nor forsook me. This word is always a nice sword of the Spirit in the hand. I don't say it for my sakes, I say it for the Lord's sake, because it's true. His word is the truth. And everything else will succumb and is destined to fail. Whoever trusts in the Lord cannot be put to shame. So, remember me And then we always invite you. Please, not only all those who are here, invite all the others also, that they come. And that from the 26th of December to the 31st of December, together, we will hear the word here and pray. How many will lay their meetings before the Lord? I tell you why. Because then we prepare our hearts already for it. The more we pray for a certain matter, the more our heart is prepared for it. And the expectation becomes greater in us because it has become our heart's desire. A matter which we don't make a real... How shall we stand before God like this? May the Lord help us all. I thank you for all prayers. I thank you also that you don't shun any way or any costs to participate in these meetings. On that day when the Lord fetches us, we will thank him together and we'll say, Brother Frank, it was worth it. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. All the efforts, it was worth it to walk the way of reproach, following the Lamb. Our way will be like the one who redeemed us. It will be similar. It will not be embedded on roses, but it will be crowned with thorns. But thanks be to the Lord. One day we exchange this cross with the crown of life. And then we will sing and play without any hindrance. Oh, what that will be. Huh. When we have put off this old body. No sorrow, no sickness, no crying. Everything left behind. We wake up and we are in glory. Oh, who can imagine this? What no eye has seen, not no ear have heard, has heard. What didn't get into any man's heart, this God prepared for them who love him. And if we love him, then we love one another with a divine love. Then everything is in order. Then it doesn't have to be put in order. It is already in order. Blessed be his name. Whoever prays, who prays? Heavenly Father, now we want to depart again. You see our hearts. You have blessed us. You will continue to bless us. You will be with us, with our brothers, with our sisters, with all. Once again, we ask you for the meetings, also with our beloved brother, that you are with him, that you bless your people in Africa, bless your children everywhere. Everything that comes, help us, that we recognize everything from where it comes, Lord, that we can persevere as your word says us. Give me grace, give us all the grace. We are just people, forgetful and weak, but our trust goes toward you, the living God. We worship you. Praise be to your name. Take us just as we are. We commit ourselves into your hands and we ask you, be merciful to all of us. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Therefore, I worship you from the depth of my heart. I worship. Therefore, I worship you, my God. I worship. From the depth of my heart, I worship you. O Jesus, I worship you. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Amen. From now on, let us only speak about those things for the edification and which are a blessing for one another. And then you will find out that the blessing of God breaks forth and is manifested. Let us learn our lesson from everything, asking God to be merciful to us, to burn our tongues with His divine fire, so that, as it is written in the book of Acts, do we not hear them in our language to proclaim the great deeds of God? This is what's all about. All the other things the unbelievers can also do. We are here to proclaim the great deeds of our God. God bless you, Omar Strauss. Praise and thanks. God bless us all. Shake hands with one another. Wish one another God's blessing as never before. Praise and thanks.